Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is your favorite hour, hopefully, of the day. 1 o'clock here on WKAR AM 870 1051. FM, and Current Sports is now live. So happy Wednesday to you all. It is the middle of the week. Time is flying. It is August 14th. So I think we can say right now that it's the middle of the month, right? Mid-month of August. Summer days dwindling down. Football right around the corner. So for sports fans, I know you guys are excited. A lot of football will be coming your way very soon. And the dog days of summer in which you're spent, you know, a lot of time, if you're trying to watch some sports, a lot of time, you know, torturing yourself with Detroit Tigers baseball. Those days will be coming to an end very, very soon. All right. And in preseason NFL football, we're going to be talking about the regular season of the NFL year very soon. And, of course, college football right around the corner. You got to love it. Got to love it, folks. So I really hope you guys are having a great August on today's show. You're in store for some really compelling topics, as you usually are. I'm going to dive into what Jim Harbaugh had to say concerning this whole transfer situation with one of his now former players, James Hudson, who transferred to Cincinnati last season. And Harbaugh has some choice words for the head coach of Cincinnati concerning this whole transfer situation with Hudson. Head coach Luke Fickell. Harbaugh sounded off this week. I got some thoughts on it. You don't want to miss that. Also, today is a special day for one of the greatest athletes of all time. Without a doubt, the most famous athlete from the Lansing area. It's his birthday today. I'll give you the details of that in just a moment, and I want to talk about his impact on the sporting world and beyond. And also, Matthew Stafford has returned to Detroit Lions practice, and he looks sharp. You know, this is kind of reminiscent of the conversation we had about Brian Lewerke of Michigan State football, you know, turning some heads in practice, and there are some glowing reviews concerning the quarterback of the Detroit Lions in training camp, all right? Don't want to read too much into it, but I do want to give you guys an update on that. So a busy show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number you can dial if you would like to join us live here on the airwaves and, you know, let your voice be heard on anything that's on your sports noggin. Also, you can weigh in courtesy of good old social media. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up and running there. Comment below that video, or you can just watch the show and enjoy it. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We'll be right back. All right, we'll start with this. Happy birthday to Irvin Magic Johnson. How about that? It is Magic's birthday today as he turns 60. Wow, that's amazing. 60 years old. It's hard to believe, you know. I feel like it was just, you know, it was like the 90s yesterday, right? And Magic was still in the league tearing it up. But time flies. Magic Johnson is 60 years old. He also shares today's birthday honors with some other pretty big names in the world of pop culture. Singer David Crosby is 78. Comedian Steve Martin, he turned 74. One of my favorite comedians there. Actress Jackie Harry of Sister Sister, she turned 63. And also actress Marcia Gray Harden is also 60 on this day. That's awesome stuff. So happy 60th birthday to all of them. And, of course, Irvin Magic Johnson. And ahead of his big day, Johnson actually decided to bestow a gift unto his loyal Twitter fan base. And he tweeted this out, quote, "In honor of my 60th birthday tomorrow, I put together a few lists of top favorites." So Magic actually put together a list of his top 60 films. The Godfather ranks first on that list. Hard to argue with that. One of the greatest films of all time. That's in my top five for sure.
It's in my top one.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah, Jack Kerouac Behind the Glass. I mean, The Godfather is like notoriously known. When you talk about the greatest films of all time, The Godfather is numero uno. I can't argue with you there. But, you know, it's not my personal number one, but it's in the top five. I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, I went back. I watched it. Oh, this is around the holidays. I want to say in December, like around Christmas time. I went back
and
watched.
It's a good Christmas movie.
It is a great Christmas movie. And I watched the first one. And, man, was Pacino young. Wasn't he so young, dude? Watching young, what is he, like 20 years old in that movie?
Can't be much older than that.
Right?
No.
I mean, Al Pacino that young. You know, and I'll never forget the first time I saw it, which I'm embarrassed to admit was only like 5 years ago. I was watching it, and it didn't hit me that was Pacino until like, I don't know, like 20 minutes into the movie. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. That guy looks familiar. Well, that's Al Pacino. So, yeah. It's hard to argue with you know, Johnson's number one all-time movie being The Godfather. Also, he lists his top 60 athletes turned entrepreneurs and also his top 60 TV shows. Now, I do want to say this because, you know, even though, you know, Johnson pushed these lists in order from 1 through 60, you know, Jack, something hit me, though, when I was looking at the list. It's in alphabetical order. So I don't know if he, you know, even though The Godfather is ranked number one, I guess. Well, I guess that would be
right. That means it's his number one because it broke the cycle, if you will.
Right, exactly. He broke the cycle with that. But, like, when you look at the top 60 athletes turned entrepreneurs, those are in alphabetical order, right?
Oh, you're right.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
the top
60
TV shows.
So Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily his number one athlete turned entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because I'm looking, I'm like, hold on, that's kind of, you know, some of the list I was like was kind of out of order. But with the films, though, is that in alphabetical order as well? That's not.
It is, except The Godfather's the only one that's not.
Okay, The Godfather.
So that's got to be his favorite movie.
So that's got to be. Okay. But yeah, everything else is like, because everybody's like breaking down this list in the rankings, but I'm like, okay, it seems to be in alphabetical order. And that hit me like when I started looking at the top 60 TV shows and 21 Jump Street is like number one on the list. I'm like, what? 21 Jump Street? Okay. All right. So Jim Harbaugh now. The head coach of the Michigan football program, Jim Harbaugh, he has been very vocal about his stance on NCAA transfers. And yesterday he fired back at an assertion that he roadblocked the waiver process of one of his former linemen, being James Hudson, who transferred to Cincinnati last season. Harbaugh said last night, quote, "Michigan did not block the waiver. We wish James Hudson well, but that is not in the coach's hands. That is not in the university's hands. It's not in his hands. The way the process works right now, those waivers are decided by the NCAA. Now, Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell, speaking about Hudson's transfer, he told The Athletic yesterday, quote, "All the power is in the hands of the school a player is leaving, and that if a school wanted to, it could help the transfer player become eligible." So there's some back and forth between Fickell and Harbaugh when it comes to the transfer of James Hudson. We'll have more on that in a matter of minutes, all right? Also, some more Michigan football news. Michigan football will be without corner
Ambry Thomas for the foreseeable future, according to the Wolverines head coach, Jim Harbaugh. Thomas was diagnosed with colitis and is not currently practicing or even on the active roster as he recovers. This is what Harbaugh said last night. He has lost quite a bit of weight. He's gained that weight back. If there isn't setbacks, then there will be milestones that he will be able to achieve with no timeline on that. So wishing Ambry Thomas well, man. Colitis is a very serious issue. We actually had the now former in-stadium host of the Lansing Lugnuts, Greg Monahan, who was taking a new job out in Minnesota. And you guys know Greg shared his story very candidly here on the air with us last year. And we had a follow-up with him before he left for the new job a few weeks ago. He was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which is a really... It's really tough on your digestive system. You know, when it came to Greg, he actually, you know, really couldn't use the bathroom and he had a bag coming out of his stomach. It's just really serious stuff. So wishing Ambry Thomas well as he recovers from this. That's very unfortunate news. All right. And one final note when it comes to the Michigan football team. No school in the country has a higher demand for college football tickets than the University of Michigan. That's according to a recent report from StubHub. Now, the online ticket exchange released 2019 ticket sales data yesterday, and the Wolverines are number one on the site for the fifth time, actually, in the past 6 years. According to the data, Michigan's ticket sales on StubHub are up 46% since 2018, when the Wolverines were second on the list to Alabama. So I guess say what you will about, you know, the success or lack thereof when it comes to Jim Harbaugh and this program. They are still selling tickets. So there you have that. The Ohio State University is attempting to trademark the word "the," according to an application with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
You didn't put enough emphasis on it there.
I didn't.
It's the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University. Thank you for that correction, Jack. Yeah. So they're trying to trademark that. The school seeks to use the word "the" mainly on T-shirts, baseball caps, and hats. Now, the application was discovered by Josh Gerben, who is actually a trademark lawyer. That's what he does. Gerben said in a video post on Twitter, quote, "This application has issues out of the gate. In order for a trademark to be registered for a brand of clothing, the trademark must be used in a trademark fashion. In other words, it has to be used on tagging or labeling for the products. In this case, just putting the words "the" on the front of a hat or on the front of a T-shirt is not sufficient trademark use." So according to Gerben, he doesn't believe that this will go through, or it has a very slim chance, but we'll see. We'll see. I think it's clever. Why not, right? At least you tried, if you don't. All right, Detroit Lions QB Matthew Stafford. He returned from a six-day break of heavy throwing and looked pretty good. Accurate, efficient, with his passes during yesterday's practice. Now, it had been 7 days since Stafford last had a normal day of practice, which included two scheduled days off for all players. He did not play in Thursday's preseason opener last week against the New England Patriots and missed both regular practices on Saturday and Sunday. Now, Stafford made nice throws in tight windows, according to multiple reports, and completed touchdown passes in full team drills to Kenny Galladay and TJ Hockenson. Receiver Travis Fulgham, he said he saw no difference in Stafford after the layoff. We'll have more on that in just a moment. It's now official. The New York Giants will be without former Detroit Lions wide receiver Golden Tate. The wide receiver signed as a direct response to shipping away Odell Beckham Jr. So Tate will be out the first four games of the season, which is a devastating blow to an offense and a team that desperately needs to get out to a strong start. Now, the NFL yesterday announced that it had denied Tate's appeal of his four-game suspension for violating the league's performance-enhancing substance policy. So this means that Tate will miss games against the Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Washington Redskins. He can continue to practice, play in the preseason games, and be a part of the team, but only until the start of the regular season. After that, he is not allowed in the team facility until September 30th, That's the Monday leading into week 5 of the season when he is allowed to return to the active roster. And he will be able to make his Giants debut on October 6th against the Minnesota Vikings at MetLife Stadium. And the Detroit Tigers lost. I feel like they found like every possible way to lose a game this season in one of the worst seasons. This will go down as one of the worst seasons in the franchise's history. The Tigers ended up losing to the Seattle Mariners 11-6 last night. And it all really unraveled in the sixth inning. I was doing work and I had the game. The game was just on. I think I was watching something else on FSD and the game just happened to be on. And, you know, I saw when Matthew Boyd just gave up the game in the sixth inning. You know, he gave up a three-run homer to tie the game. And then the very next at-bat, he gives up a homer and the lead. Just horrible.
Don't you feel so great that the Tigers didn't trade him at the deadline?
Right.
He gives up a start like this and his value goes into the toilet.
Exactly, right. Just Tigers fashion, man. This is how the season has gone this year, Jack. So, yeah, 11-6 the final last night. And the Tigers, I believe they've only won something like 14 or 18 games at home. The worst home record in all of Major League Baseball. All right. That does it for your quick hit headliners. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. We've got the live stream up and running there. You can comment below that video. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. The glory days of Wheezy right there. I haven't heard that beat in a long time. Thank you, Jack, for that. That's a classic throwback. Lil Wayne featuring Birdman, Stunting Like My Daddy.
I honestly forgot I had it.
Really?
I cut that months ago.
Oh, have you? Oh, man. I that's when Wayne was like getting real serious with his lyrics, and you realize that this dude is a problem. Lil Wayne, one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time. I miss those days. I was probably, 2006? So I was in high school. Yeah, I graduated high school in 2008. So I was a sophomore in high school when that came out. Yeah, that was actually, now that I think about it, that was one of our warm-up songs when I was, playing on the varsity basketball team. Throwback, man. I just got nostalgic there. Also, get in the comment on our Facebook page. V-Dot asked, Raiders? ? And it hit me that I still have that Oakland Raiders logo on our, which you can see on our live stream right in front of the current sports signage. And it's not me, VDOT. It's not me. If actually below that, you can see a small Dallas Cowboys helmet, courtesy of our listener, Ben Grimes, and his son, AJ. And shout out to Stephanie as well, the Grimes family, gifting me that not too long ago. But Brad Walker is a huge Oakland Raiders fan, so he threw that in front of the signage, Jack.
We should honestly keep it up there, though, because, I mean, how many logos in all of sports are better than the Raiders logo?
Oh, it's great.
It's awesome.
It's iconic, man. It really is. It really is. I always think about the documentary, The 30 for 30, that Ice Cube did in collaboration with ESPN, talking about the Raiders and their impact on pop culture, especially hip-hop culture specifically. So, yeah, it's a great logo. And last night, did you catch Hard Knocks, Jack? At all?
No, I haven't been watching. Exam on Thursday. I'm going to catch up, though, after that.
You're a busy man. I totally get it. But I watched it last night, and, you know, we were debating on yesterday's Current Sports just how much they would talk about and cover the drama that's happening with Antonio Brown, the star wide receiver of the Oakland Raiders. We all know he had the cryotherapy session in which he didn't wear proper attire. You know, and there's like, you know, I would like to hear, and I doubt if any more details will come out. It'll probably be years down the road until we figure out the full story and details of this, because I just don't think there's a lot of details as to what truly happened. Was this, you know, I got a question, like, was this Antonio Brown's first time going into the cryotherapy machine? Because, you know, if it wasn't, you would think that he would know what kind of precautions to take, and you would think that the company that issued this equipment for Antonio Brown to use, you would think they would warn him that, yeah, man, some serious stuff can go down if you don't wear the proper equipment. You know, you can't have any moisture on your body. I mean, we're talking about temperatures well below zero. You know, that stuff can be very harmful to your body. And yeah, you know, negative, you know, below zero temperatures can have an effect on certain parts of your body if you don't wear the proper attire. So was this Antonio Brown's first rodeo with this thing? And if not, shame on him. And also shame on the company for not making sure that he had the proper equipment going in there. So I have questions when it comes to this whole thing. But anyway, last night on Hard Knocks, they went into detail. They showed it. You know, Antonio Brown was sitting there on the grass, and you know, I'm pretty sure those who watched the episode, and even if you haven't, this clip has been shown multiple times on social media now. But Antonio Brown, they addressed it right off the bat. I mean, Antonio Brown's laying in the grass, and you know, he says, "You want to see it?" And whoever the cameraman is or producer is says, "Yeah." And he's like, "Are you sure you want to see it?" And cameraman and producer are like, yeah, show it." And you see his disgusting feet. You know, it looks really, really bad. I mean, it's like chipping and peeling, and it's nasty. I'll just put it that way. And I'm sitting there looking at that, saying, yeah, that has to be incredibly, incredibly painful. So then it goes from there to John Gruden. There was multiple shots of John Gruden, head coach of the Raiders last night, just getting so frustrated, like, man, I really wish 84 was out here. You know, just, he said that multiple times, like, man, is he okay? What's going on with 84? There was a moment where he's sitting at the head coach's, the coaching table. He's at the head of the table as the head coach. And he's just kind of sitting there, and he just kind of looks up and says, man, I sure wish 84 was here. So there were multiple times where Gruden said that throughout the episode. And then it detailed some footage coming from NFL Network about this whole helmet grievance. And then it just kind of showed, you know, John Gruden, as well as the starting quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, Derek Carr, whenever, you know, they showed them at the podium after practice or before practice, not sure the timeline, if it was before or after practice, but they're sitting there answering questions from the media. And the media, of course, are asking about Antonio Brown, and they're saying, look, Derek Carr was basically like, look, you know, he gave the PR answer, look, I don't know. You know, we're just focusing on us day by day. And then it goes to Gruden, and Gruden's like, yeah, you know, we want him here, but, you know, we can only just focus on what we're doing day by day. I really wish he was here. And then probably the only candid moment that you saw about Antonio Brown came from John Gruden when, you know, he had, like, before that first preseason game against the L.A. Rams, Gruden comes in to meet with the media who are doing the radio and television broadcast. And by the way, Brent Musburger, the great Brent Musburger, he made an appearance last night. He is now the radio play-by-play guy for the Oakland Raiders, a living legend.
College football is not the same without Brent.
It's not. Oh, it's just not. I agree with you, Jack, on that. But yeah, Brent's doing the radio broadcast, and, you know, in walks John Gruden. And John says, oh, this is our best free agent signing right here, Brent Musburger, as our radio play-by-play guy. And then he says that, you know, yeah, you know, he didn't give the PR answer here when talking about Antonio Brown. He said, yeah, we're missing time. We're missing progress. And every day that goes by where we, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but every day that goes by when we don't have him, it hurts us. So, and then the episode ends with, you know, they detailed the grievance. They didn't get too much into the reaction from players concerning the grievance. They profiled a rookie wide receiver who was turning heads. He may make the roster. And then they profiled the backup quarterbacks for Derek Carr, Nathan Peterman, that huge run that he had, and so on and so forth. And then near the end of the episode, You know, it talks about, you know, Antonio Brown being cleared and he's going to return to practice, and it showed some footage of him. So that was about it. You know, there wasn't anything really juicy or sexy last night concerning Antonio Brown. I was curious to see if they would show any reaction, any candid reaction from maybe teammates discussing Antonio Brown, wishing he was there or something like that. But you didn't get much last night. So there you have that. That was last night's Hard Knocks. Check it out. It's just a great show. Great, great show. I really wish Amazon Prime does this. You know, they profile a team every single season, but you don't see that footage until after the season. So, but I really wish that Hard Knocks, HBO's Hard Knocks, like, followed the team throughout the season, every single game. That will be awesome, but you just can't show certain stuff, and that will probably be a distraction. All right. Jim Harbaugh is making headlines today, and he actually lashed out on Tuesday last night. So Tuesday night, he lashed out at Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell, who said that Michigan did not support a transfer's attempt to immediately play for the Bearcats. Who's that player, you ask? Well, James Hudson, who's a lineman. Now, we discussed this during, like, around Big Ten media days out in Chicago, because Harbaugh had really said the wrong thing when news came out that James Hudson apparently was going through some mental health issues when he was at the University of Michigan. And then Jim Harbaugh came out and really stuck his foot in his mouth, saying that, well, that's a slippery slope because, you know, if you have other players coming out and wanting to, you know, immediately play at another school, then they may say that they also have mental health issues. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the gist of what Harbaugh said. He came out after those idiotic comments and apologized and kind of walked it back. I understood the point he was making. That's something that you can think to yourself about, but you can't say that in the media, especially in 2019. Mental health is a huge thing, and it's being more openly talked about as time goes by now. It's a very sensitive topic in 2019. You cannot say that. And who knows? You don't know, you know, especially young men today, especially young men who play a testosterone-driven sport like football, a lot of them aren't comfortable with coming out and saying that, yeah, I'm going through something up here in my noggin. You know, I'm having some mental health problems. Pride gets in the way of that. So Fickell told The Athletic that Michigan didn't support Hudson's waiver request. Fickell said in the story, which was published yesterday, quote, they say they didn't undermine it, but they didn't work to help the kid out. All the power is in the hands of the school of a player. All the power is in the hands of the school a player is leaving. If they want to help, they can help them become eligible. That's what Fickell had to say. So it's a direct shot at Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan. In Fickell's eyes, they did not support James Hudson and therefore are hindering him becoming eligible, immediately eligible to play at Cincinnati. Harbaugh simply said, that's wrong. It's not true. Harbaugh said, quote, Michigan did not block the waiver, adding it was the NCAA's decision to deny Hudson's request. So the NCAA just does not, they don't comment on specific waiver cases. Schools rarely do. And, you know, when it comes to Hudson, you know, he was a seldom used offensive lineman. He transferred to Cincy last year. The NCAA denied his waiver request in the spring to be eligible this season. And he posted on Twitter that mental health, again, prompted his transfer. And his request was denied, apparently because he did not reveal the issues at Michigan. So, and this is what Harbaugh didn't stop there, though, because he also recalled in a conversation to Fickell, according to Harbaugh, when Fickell was trying to, you know, convince Harbaugh to have their back here and to say something to possibly make Hudson immediately eligible for Cincinnati, Harbaugh says that he told Fickell, quote, I'm not going to lie. And then he goes on to detail what that conversation was like, you know, him being moved, I believe, from defensive lineman to offensive lineman. And, you know, he said, look, man, I'm all about honesty. I'm not going to lie, and so on and so forth. So this is a sticky situation because I get why, Jack, the NCAA did not grant Hudson this waiver request because they're looking at it from a strictly, you know, logistical standpoint here. Did you follow protocol and notify the University of Michigan that you had mental health issues? If not, then there's not much we can do for you. I'm sorry that you're going through this, but you're going to have to sit out a year. But then there's the human side of you that says, okay, if James Hudson was in fact going through mental health issues, and it also Hudson's mother came out and, you know, reprimanded the university and you know, kind of went at University of Michigan for how they handled this whole thing. The human side of you also looks at this story and says, okay, this is a young man who is, he just wants to play football. You know, if he was going through mental health issues, man, you really feel bad for him. And we all know about the game of football and also what we're knowing more and more about CTE and the effects that that can have on former and current football players and how much that plays a factor into mental health as well. You know, man, you really want to see this young man maybe become immediately eligible. So that's what the human side of you says as well. Then also I say to myself, okay, isn't there an evaluation that James Hudson can go through to see if he can be diagnosed or, you know, and in fact is going through, you know, some kind of depression or some kind of mental health disorder? I mean, you got doctors out there who specialize in this stuff. Can he undergo some kind of evaluation to see if, in fact, he is telling the truth here, if there is any doubt? So that there's also that layer to it that I think about as well. But at the end of the day, I'm not surprised at the decision here, no matter how unfortunate this is for James Hudson. And Jim Harbaugh, certainly, he's got to pick his words better, man. You can't come out in the media and say, Jack, that, well, you're going to have a lot of people saying they have mental health disorders just so that – I mean, that's just the wrong thing to say. That is the wrong way to look at the situation. You know what I mean? That's just the wrong way. Perception is reality, and that perception is totally wrong on the side of Harbaugh here. You cannot say that, period.
It absolutely is. But in defense of Jim Harbaugh, I still think his heart is in the right place in that, you know, he is still advocating for players to be granted a one-time ability to play right away.
Right.
So, I mean, even though that's obviously a very bad comment, and to your point, he put his foot in his mouth, I still think, you know, from the standpoint of this issue, I still think Jim Harbaugh is on the right side. As it pertains to waivers, I'm completely burnt out on, you know, the whole topic of whether a player should be granted a waiver. Because if we're being honest, should Justin Fields have gotten a waiver at Ohio State? No. Should Shea Patterson have gotten a waiver at Michigan? No. But these guys get waivers because, you know, they're high-profile players and they'll help the ratings of, you know, these schools and they'll attract more eyes, if you will. I have a real issue when, you know, a player like James Hudson, who leaves citing mental health issues, or going back a couple weeks ago, Luke Ford, the kid who wanted to transfer to Illinois who wasn't granted a waiver,
right,
even though his grandparents are both, you know, they have failing health, I guess. You know, I really have an issue when you grant waivers to certain players based on, you know, their ability on the field, but then you deny people who have legitimate reasons off the field. So I'm completely done with the idea of waivers.
And those who argue against what you just said, Jack, and say, well, that's not true. It's totally true. There have been countless examples of players in NCAA athletics who have transferred and have been granted immediate eligibility just solely based on who they are, the kind of talent they are, and again, being ratings-driven players because they are that good. We all know that's why Shea Patterson was granted immediate eligibility to play at University of Michigan. When there are countless examples of young men out there, young athletes, young men and women out there, who are transferring based on personal issues, personal reasons, who don't get immediate eligibility. And for those out there listening who says that's not true, please do your research. I'm not going to go through and nitpick the countless examples that are out there the NCAA contradicts itself time and time and time again. Which is why I made the statement yesterday, Jack, that I was so surprised that they made that amendment to the whole agency thing. I just don't trust the NCAA. I just don't, man. They contradict themselves far too often for me. So, thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to know where you guys lie with this conversation. Do you have Harbaugh's back here? Do you understand where he's coming from? Or do you tend to, you know, sway on the side of Coach Fickell and James Hudson? Comment below our Facebook page as well at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Today is the birthday, the 60th birthday of Irvin Magic Johnson. And I want to just salute him after this first break and talk about Magic's impact on the world of sports and beyond. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And we've got a, you know what, I want to address this real quick before I go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Because I really feel, conflicted in passing this story along to you guys because, you know, he was one of the players that I watched growing up. And I said, man, that dude's going to have a bright future in basketball. But then seeing that the countless, you know, mistakes that he made over and over and over. What's the old saying, right? You know, fool me once, shame on you. But, you know, fool me twice, shame on me, right?
Wow, I wish I had George W. Bush saying that.
I know.
You remember that?
I do. You know, J. Cole used that famous George W.
And no role models, yeah.
Yeah, and no role models, exactly. Yeah, I know, right? If we could play, that'd be
I'm going to need to cut that after the show, I think.
You need to cut that, man. Because... You know, you look at and you want to give people the benefit of the doubt sometimes. But if that individual continues to make mistakes over and over and over, you're abusing those who have any kind of sympathy for you. And I don't know if you guys saw this news. I actually watched the very troubling video of him in the courtroom today, this morning. But former NBA player Sebastian Telfair, one of the most hyped up high school basketball players of all time. Telfair has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for illegal gun possession. Brooklyn's district attorney announced that on Monday. Telfair, who is now 34 years old, time flies. I remember watching that ESPN documentary about Telfair being in high school and trying to make the pros. It was awesome. Awesome documentary. He was convicted in April of one count of second-degree criminal possession of a weapon which stemmed from an arrest in January of 2 years ago. Police found firearms, including a semi-automatic rifle, ammunition, a ballistic vest. I don't know what that is, but a ballistic vest and marijuana inside a vehicle that Telfair was driving during a traffic stop in Brooklyn.
It's like Kevlar. It's like a bullet resistant vest.
Oh, is
vest.
It? Yeah. So I figured it was a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, ballistic refers to like firearms. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So a bulletproof vest, and I mean this dude was a first round draft pick in 2004. You know, he played for the Blazers, the Celtics, as well as the Timberwolves too. And that's before ending his career. He went overseas, actually. You know, he did the Stephon Marbury route. He went overseas in China and played. And he was also arrested. So, again, it goes back to this whole thing. Again, if you keep abusing the sympathy of people who have your back. And he was arrested in 2007 after a traffic stop when police found, again, same situation, a loaded handgun in the vehicle He pleaded guilty to criminal possession of a weapon and was sentenced to 3 years of probation in that case. So this time the judge didn't have any sympathy for him and said, look, man, you know, this is not your first time involved in something like this. You're going to have to go to prison now. 3.5 years is what Telfair got. And the video is so troubling. You see him for 3 minutes trying to plead his case and discredit the witnesses that they had in the trial. And, you know, he's looking at the judge, pleading with the judge. He's about to break down in tears. And then when the reality hits him that he's about to go to prison, he looks at his mom and says, I'm sorry, mom. And he's pleading and looking at the judge right in her eye. I believe it was a female judge. And, you know, he's looking at the judge and just pleading, like, please, please don't do this. And then you had the police officers behind him, just like, come on, man, like, it's time. And just a really sad story when it comes to Telfair. I don't know. This was certainly before your time, Jack, but did you know about Sebastian Telfair at all growing up or hear about him?
I remember him being a bit player backup point guard in the NBA, but that's about it.
But you don't remember all the hype. I remember the hype. I remember, you know, I was about like, I don't know, 12 or 13 when Telfair was tearing it up and that documentary came out and, you know, going to the local park and playing street ball and everybody talking about Sebastian Telfair. Did you see the documentary, how good he is? I remember Jay-Z. Remember there was Jay-Z, Derek Jeter, Rick Pitino. They were all in the building for one of his high school games at one part of that documentary, and the fanfare was insane. And he put on a show. The kid was amazing. And now the kid is a man, and a man who has made many, many mistakes and will be spending the next 3.5 years behind bars. So, gosh, man. All right. Getting a comment here on our Facebook page and, you know, wishing Connor Mathis well. Hope he's well. Connor is just, he's back home right now in West Virginia. He'll be back up very soon. But, you know, while he's away, he's still tuning into current sports. And he says that Jim implied that Hudson faked mental health issues to leave Michigan. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest that Michigan wouldn't help the guy out if Harbaugh thought he just quit on the team. Well, yeah, and that's when it gets real sticky too, Jack. If you know, if you have a transfer, this doesn't. Oh, I'm sorry, and Connor corrects me. I'm sorry. I always do this. Connor's from Virginia, not West Virginia. That's like.
But his brother plays at West Virginia, so I get it mixed up too. Yeah,
that's why I always get it mixed up. Yeah, his brother plays at West Virginia, so he's in Virginia. I'm sorry, Connor. Connor like he gives me the death stare anytime I mess.
That didn't even register in my mind that you were wrong in saying that he was from West Virginia. So right. Connor, that one's on me too, bud.
Right, exactly. But then that's when it becomes sticky, though. I mean, Connor makes an interesting point because, I mean, if you're a coach and a player within your program decides to just quit and leave and transfer to a different school because he's unhappy with, I don't know, the system or doesn't like you as a coach or doesn't, you know, I don't know, like the jerseys, who knows what the reason is. I mean, you better believe that that coach is going to feel some type of way about that young man leaving the program, and then you get into a situation where it becomes personal for some of these coaches, right? I mean, it happens. So how do you police that as the NCAA? I don't know how you can fully police that, Jack. Is there a foolproof method on how to police when personal feelings get in the way of these transfers who are leaving due to different reasons based on some beef with the coach or whatever it may be?
Yeah, the solution is to allow everybody to transfer one time, and be able to play immediately.
I'm in your corner when it comes to that rule.
Because here's the other thing too is like if a player transfers multiple times because he doesn't get along with the coach, like if it happens twice in his collegiate career, at that point, isn't it safe to say that it's probably not the coach so much as it is the player?
Doesn't just go into the statement I just said. Fool me once.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But fool me twice? Come on, man.
It's like if you leave two programs in the span of 3 or 4 years, how am I supposed to believe it's two coaching staffs that treated you poorly and you have nothing to do with it, right?
Exactly. Because then it becomes a trend. You know, then you start to see behind, you know, the curtain and you start to say, all right, well, this kid just has a problem, you know? yeah, I'm totally with you on that. All right. On a much lighter note before we hit our final break, Magic Johnson turns 60 years old today. Happy birthday, Magic. I just saw him not too long ago when he showed up to Reno's East for the celebration of life for the late, great Earl Robinson, my predecessor, who held down this mic for 39 years before I got here. Magic showed up. They went to school together. And, you know, they were really tight, used to play pickup ball with each other. And, you know, Magic showed up at Reno's East to pay tribute to Earl Robinson. So I just saw Magic not too long ago, and now he's 60 years old on August 14th. Also, it's Halle Berry's birthday today, too. I can't push it along without saying happy birthday to Halle Martin as well. That's my boo, man. I love Halle Berry. That's my, like, ultimate crush right there, Jack. But Magic is 60, and I just want to talk about Magic's impact, because looking at Magic's life and what he has accomplished, not just on the basketball court, but beyond it as well, is pretty remarkable. I mean, we all know how here at Michigan State University back in 1979, you know, he led the Spartans to a natty, you know, to that national title before going first in the NBA draft and winning the championship with the Los Angeles Lakers during his very first year in the league. That's insane, right? And Johnson, you know, that paycheck was pretty nice too. He signed a 25-year deal for $25 million. Do you remember that? It was the longest and highest paid gig in sports at the time. And in 13 seasons with the Lakers, he raked up 5 NBA championships, 3 MVP awards, and oh yeah, don't forget about the Olympic gold medal with the Dream Team back in 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. And that's the first year, actually, that pro players could take part, because we were looking at things and saying, okay, we're sending amateurs to compete with pros internationally. We're getting our butts kicked. Why not send the best of the best that we have in America overseas to win the gold? And that team is probably the most coveted team in basketball history. So, yeah, amazing stuff. Amazing what Magic Johnson was able to do on the basketball court. But his impact away from the court as well. I want to acknowledge this as well. You know, when Magic announced that he was HIV positive and retiring from the Lakers in November of 1991, that was one of those moments that, you know, you say to yourself, I remember where I was when, fill in the blank. And there are many people in November of 1991, who remember where they were when Magic Johnson made that announcement. We all see the famous footage, right, when Magic walked in and he hit the podium and said he's retiring from the game of basketball due to the HIV virus that he had contracted. And it really sounded like, at the time, a death sentence, because so little was known about the disease at the time. But Magic is one of the individuals who helped change America's attitude toward the disease. You know, and he once noted in an interview that, you know, he looks at that moment, him becoming HIV positive, as, quote, the blessing and the curse of HIV. He went on to say, quote, I'm the blessing because people were talking about it. They ran out and got tested at the time. Then I'm the curse because people now say, oh, well, HIV is nothing, because if I get it, I can be like Magic. He's doing good and I can do the same thing that he's doing, or take the same medicine that he's taking, and I'll be OK.
All it takes is money.
Right. That's what a lot of people say. That's what people, when they look at Magic Johnson being HIV positive, Jack, they look at Magic and say, yeah, I mean, he's got access to the best, you know, doctors in the world, the best Medicare. Right. So. So it varies case to case. It's so tough to say that in America, but that's how it is. That's the healthcare system in America, unfortunately. So he goes on to say in this interview, quote, but what they don't understand, in 22 years, millions of people have died. And that's so true. But, you know, Magic being a living, you know, example of hope for so many who are diagnosed with HIV, I mean, that's huge. That's huge to see. I mean, because I can only imagine if you're diagnosed with HIV and you're sitting there and you get that news from your doc, you know, Magic is one of those guys you can look at and say, all right, there's hope for me. I could possibly be like Magic and live a healthy life if I treat this thing the right way. And he really helped change that perception, because, again, back in, you know, the early 90s, especially the 80s, if you got contracted with HIV, I mean, it was looked at as a death sentence. I just watched Bohemian Rhapsody. Have you seen that movie, Jack?
No, I didn't know there was a movie called Bohemian Rhapsody.
What? No? Yeah, it's the story of Queen. It's the story of Queen.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, fair enough.
And Rami Malek does an incredible job in the film portraying who is the
Freddie Mercury?
Freddie Mercury. Yeah. Freddie Mercury, who was diagnosed with AIDS,
died of AIDS
and passed away. And when he first got the disease, he tried to hide it from everybody because he knew that the perception was going to be, just like I said, it's a death sentence and they're going to be criticizing my lifestyle and so on and so forth. And, you know, it just kind of it just, when I watched that movie, it also reiterated that perception that people had of the disease. And Magic Johnson certainly helped change that perception. And also Magic, what he's doing with charity. You know, all of the money that he's given to charity to help people out there, you know, his Magic Johnson Foundation raised more than $20 million for charity, $20-plus million for charity since it has been, you know, enacted. And he's also given out well over $4 million in scholarships. So helping out communities and then also bringing business to minority communities. You know, he's a really good businessman. He founded MJ Enterprises back in 1987. And the focus on that was serving diverse communities and bringing in high-quality business to minority areas, typically underserved by larger corporations. And he seemed to invest in nearly everything. I mean, theaters, restaurants, fitness centers, sports teams, a TV network, also a partnership with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, made him millions. And altogether, it's estimated that Magic's business empire is estimated at over $500 million. One of the examples of successful businessmen that we have in our country today. So he's done so much, and of course, he's Lansing's favorite son. And just the nicest dude in the world. You know, I always tell the story, when I first got the chance to meet Magic, it was my first year here at WKAR, and it was announced that Magic was going to be taking over, through his company, the cafeteria menu at his former high school at Lansing Everett. And, you know, Magic was going to be in town, and he was, you know, you had to put in an interview request to sit down with Magic and do a brief one-on-one interview with him. So we put in an interview request here at WKAR. We went over to the high school. We set up our equipment. There's this huge room with other TV networks there and other people who just want to say hi to Magic. I mean, the room was packed. If I had to guess, it was probably about 150 people in this huge conference room. Magic walks in the room. This is Magic Johnson, folks. He walks in the room, and before even starting one interview, he shakes everybody's hand and looks them in the eye with a smile and ask how they're doing before he begins one interview. And I'm talking about everybody in the room. Cameramen, producers, people who are just sitting on the side, just wanting to get a glimpse of Magic. I mean, he's taking pictures, he's signing autographs. That's Magic Johnson for you. Amazing stuff. And then, you know, he was gracious with his time. You know, we were like the last station to sit down with him. And he sits down and shakes my hand and asks how Earl was doing. And ask me how I'm doing, you know, how are you liking the new role here at WKAR? We chatted for about 5 minutes before that red light came on the camera, and we conducted the interview. Just one of the nicest, most classy guys you ever meet in your life. So, happy 60th, Magic. Happy 60th, man. Here's to many more years. All right, our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports to close out the hour. Let's go to our phone lines with about, 2 minutes left here in the hour. Ray from Indiana wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, my man?
How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing good. Happy Wednesday to you, Ray.
Yeah, a week from Friday will be my 70th birthday.
Wow, that's awesome stuff. Yeah, you did call in last week and tell me that. It's coming. It's right around the corner, right?
I got another newspaper up here that picks the Bullies and Jimmy to win the Big Ten title. I got some news for Jimmy, okay?
What's the news?
Jimmy, if you're listening out there, you're going to lose the Army, okay? Then you're going to lose to Michigan State. Then you're going to lose to Notre Dame. Then you're going to lose to Ohio State. That's four losses, okay? Then you're going to go on the road. You're going to lose to Wisconsin and Penn State. Then you beat all the other cream puffs, and you end up with a 6-6 record.
Wow.
Bye-bye, Jimmy. Bye-bye. Next year, the alumni are going to take you on a round-trip ticket to Flint, Michigan for you and your team.
to Flint, Michigan, Ray? Why Flint?
Well, you know why.
Let's just leave that there.
My life, you know?
Let's leave that there.
They're the capital of the world, and you know what?
Ray from Indiana.
You know, Detroit and Flint are the number one, number two every year.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the call.
Six losses, Jimmy. Bye-bye.
I had to cut Ray off there. What is he trying to say about Flint and Detroit, man? That's a jab at Flint and Detroit. What does he mean by that?
Do you actually not know what he means?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Flint usually leads the nation in murders per capita.
I did not.
But Detroit isn't second.
I didn't want to think that way. See that? I thought about it for 2 seconds. I'm like, Ray can't mean that. Ray, come on, man. Shame on you, Ray. Gosh, dude. You could have just left it at the record prediction. You messed it up, Ray. All right. Have a great Wednesday, folks.
Well, okay, the idea of them going to Flint is funny because he's taken them out of the country the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I know. So them going to Flint instead of going to... Where'd they go this year? Didn't they go to Africa?
Yeah, I get it. Have a good Wednesday, folks. Be easy, people.